I'd like for you to take a copy of the Word of God and turn with me tonight to Psalm in the number 89. The Psalm in the number 89, and can I say that it's a privilege to be able to stand before you again in this hour and to be able to fellowship together around the Word of the Lord. And I thank once again the oversight for their invitation to come and to minister today, and to our brother Gordon for his words of welcome even in the service this evening. I want to also place on record my thanks to Morris and to Melanie for their hospitality today. And I'm thankful even for their kindness that they've shown to me. And may the Lord bless them for it. But Psalm number 89, let's read together as we enter into this psalm at the verse 35 tonight, please. The verse 35 of Psalm 89. And the Word of God says, "Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven, Selah. But thou cast off and abhorred. Thou hast been wroth with thine anointed. Thou hast made void the covenant of thy servant. Thou hast profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. Thou hast broken down all his hedges. Thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin. All that pass by the way spoil him. He is a reproach to his neighbors. Thou hast set up the right hand of his adversaries. Thou hast made all his enemies to rejoice. Thou hast also turned the edge of his sword and hast not made him to stand in the battle. Thou hast made his glory to cease and cast his throne down to the ground. The days of his youth hast thou shortened. Thou hast covered him with shame, Selah. How long, Lord, wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave, Selah? Lord, where are thy former loving kindnesses, which thou swearest unto David in thy truth? Remember, Lord, the reproach of thy servants. How I do bear in my bosom the reproach of all the mighty people. Wherewith thine enemies have reproached, O Lord, wherewith they have reproached the footsteps of thine anointed. Blessed be the Lord forevermore." Amen and amen. And with the Word of God open before us, let's just bow in a word of prayer. Let's ask for the Lord's blessing as we spend these short few moments together, even around this passage and these great truths that are before us. Let's pray together, please. Father, we thank and we praise thee for the opportunity that has been ours already to enjoy the feast that thou hast prepared for us in thy house tonight. We thank thee, Father, even for the hymns that we have sang together that have enriched our souls. We thank you, Father, for the ministry and song. We thank and praise thee, Father, even for the words that have exalted thee, exalted thy Son, and pointed us to the cross. And we thank thee that in all things thou hast done all things well. And Father, as we come now to the remainder of our time, we are very conscious that this, O Lord, is the very crux, as it were, of the whole Christian message. For, O Lord, we come to declare Jesus Christ and him crucified. And, O Lord, as we come, there is, O Lord, that realization at this very moment that there is that spiritual warfare as all hell is embattled against us. But, O Lord, we pray that in this meeting tonight, in the hearts and lives of those who are gathered, we pray that thou wouldst have thine own way, that thou wouldst captivate every heart, every mind, every thought. And we pray that only Christ would be seen, that he would be preeminent in all things we ask. O Father, we acknowledge also the unworthiness of the cause that finds us here, for Lord, we do not deserve this opportunity. But O Lord, thou hast brought us to this hour, and so Lord, we pray that thou wouldst go with us through this hour. And bless in the ministry of thy word. May it be as us and us, saith the Lord. For thy grace which is sufficient, and for thy strength which is made perfect in my weakness, O Lord, I ask thee now, O have thine own way. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. We come to consider the great truth of the gospel tonight. And in doing so, we are reminded in the psalm, in the part of the psalm that we have just read together, of how short life is. In verse 47 of the psalm, the psalmist says about his life being short, his time being short. And something that stands out, perhaps, above everything else that we can counter in this world is simply this, that as people and men and women make their way through life, they give very little thought to the fact that life is short. But you know, as we come to a gospel message tonight, as we come to another opportunity to declare the good news that Jesus Christ died on a cross to purchase a salvation full and free for all who are gathered even under the sound of this voice tonight, for all who are gathered even under the sound of the ministry of the Word of God, for all who gather even outside of these walls, there is a salvation to be found in Christ and in Christ alone. But perhaps it's true that there is a mindset that prevails as we come to the gospel ministry, not to enter into it, not to open our hearts, not to open our minds, not even to open our ears for something we've heard before. But you know, whenever we come to the gospel ministry, it is beyond any reasonable doubt in my mind that we come to the matters of life and death. We come to those moments in time whenever we view for ourselves the great standing between, as it were. You remember perhaps the story that's given to us, the account in the history of the nation of Israel, how whenever there was that great rebellion, how whenever that fire came down and consumed those who rebelled, how that the great plague moved amongst the people and God's wrath was evident among the nation. And there Moses cast himself upon the ground. And as he cast himself upon the ground, he said unto Aaron, run forth, take the incense, take the censer, and stand between the living and the dead. In the gospel ministry, whenever we come to consider the truth of what it means, that price that was paid for our sin, the fact that we are all sinners, the fact that one day we will give an account for our sin, there's no difference between that picture and this picture, for there is that moment in eternity when between the living and the dead, there stands one to declare the truth that Jesus saves. We come to consider the great statement that is found in verse 49 of the psalm that we read together. Verse 48, and it says, who is he that liveth and shall not see death? For I want to ask you tonight, with all your plans of life, and with all the moments that you have spent contemplating life, your hopes and your ambitions for it, have you ever considered the moment of your death? See, what's true about this great statement that's found for us here and in other places in the Word of God is simply this. It reminds us that there's something that we must do. Comes that moment that we all will die. It's not a favorite topic. Indeed, if you were out with your family or with your friends, spending some time together, it's not a topic that you'd bring up. There are those who seek to avoid it at all costs. Never mention it. Never audibly talk about the very fact that one day life will come to an end. But the reality of it is a fact. For whilst you were unaware of the events that surrounded the day that you were born, make no mistake about it, tonight you know all about the fact that one day you're going to die. I wonder, have you ever given any thought to death, to your death, to what it will mean? The first thing about death is simply this, is it's unpredictable. No man knoweth the day of his death. But the Bible tells us something very clear in the Word of God, and it tells us simply this, that there is a day marked in the calendar of eternity that is marked as a day of your death, for it is appointed unto man once to die. And as surely as you are gathered here tonight and you have known what it is to be born, there's coming a day whenever you shall know what it is to pass from this scene of time. But you know not the hour nor the time, for it's unpredictable. It cometh like the thief in the night. It cometh whenever perhaps it's least expected. But no man knoweth the day, the hour nor the time. But it is coming. For not only is death unpredictable, but death is unavoidable. The Bible tells us that all men, for it is appointed unto man once to die. And some of you will know that I have a part-time job as a funeral undertaker. And in my job, I have the opportunity to spend time with people who have known what it is to pass through the valley of death as a loved one has gone on before. But in my experience of dealing with families and dealing with the reality of death that enters into every home, every life, and every family, my experience has taught me something about death. And it simply is this, it's taught me there are no exceptions. I've known what it is to gather a little baby and to place it within a coffin. I've known what it is to take the old man or the old woman from their bed. I've known what it is to sit with families who have lost professors and doctors, and I've known what it is to sit with families who have lost someone who has zero to no education. I've known what it is to sit in a house that is filled with all the grandeur that money can buy, and I've known what it is to sit in a place that is filthy and is coming down around those who inhabit it. But the fact of the matter is that that very time that is spent with those people, that very time that is spent with those families, is all because of the unavoidable and unquestionable fact that death has entered in, and so it will come to each one of us. It's unpredictable. It's unavoidable. An appointment that we didn't break because we cannot. Because it's one that we didn't make. And as we are gathered here tonight, we gather under the sure and the certain reality that every day of our lives, we are living on the very brink of eternity itself. For even as the psalmist records, there is but a step between me and death. Death is unpredictable, it's unavoidable. It's undesirable. No man would volunteer for it. No woman would put themselves forward for it. But friends, as it behoves us in the gospel to preach Jesus Christ, it also behoves us to warn. And tonight, as undesirable as the topic of death may be, as undesirable as the fact of death may be, it behoves the minister of Christ to always remind one that life at best is very brief. Like the falling off a leaf. Like the binding off a sheaf. Oh, be in time. Tertullian once said that it is a poor thing to fear that which is inevitable. Whenever you discuss death, there are many who do fear the moment that life will end. The moment that everything that they enjoy, everything that is part of what they have here on earth, comes to a sudden and an abrupt end. But it doesn't have to be that way. Because the Bible tells us, even here in this psalm and in various other passages right throughout Scripture, that whilst death is something that we must do, there's also something that you can do. The story is given to us in the scripture, of course, of Ahithophel, the one who came in the time whenever Absalom had risen up against David. And he came as a counselor unto Absalom, and in the midst of his counsel was found good words. But then David inquired of the Lord and sought that his counsel would come against him, that it would not seem so favorable. And so the time came whenever the question was asked of Ahithophel once again by Absalom and by his followers as to the course of action that they should take, as to the plan that they should put into action. And Ahithophel gave his advice that he should gather together the armies and pursue after David immediately. But God overruled, and that advice was not taken. And therefore, the life of David and his men was spared. But in the giving and the not receiving of that advice, Ahithophel realized that his days were numbered. He realized that his usefulness had expired in the cause of Absalom, and he had never again have a usefulness within the cause of David. And so the Bible tells us that he returned home. But in returning home, the Bible tells us he did one thing. He set his house in order. And then he died. And you see, whilst there was something that must be done, there's also something that can be done. And friend, if you are here tonight and you know not what it is to have prepared for your death in any way, then I urge you from the word of God to do as Ahithophel did and set your house in order. Oh, setting your house in order is much more than writing a will. It's much more than making sure that family members are provided for. It's much more than making sure that debts are paid and old accounts are settled. It's much more than taking care of all the practicalities of life as we know it. It's ensuring that everything about what lies beyond life is as it should be, as it should be from the Word of God, as it's commanded to us to do, in order that we might see God. It's a following of those words that we find in Amos 4 in the verse 12. Prepare, prepare to meet thy God is coming. Oh, it's unavoidable. Just like death is unavoidable, so too is that day whenever we shall meet God, for every eye shall see. Every knee shall bow. But my friend, whilst we're here on this earth, there's something that we can do. We can prepare to meet him. And I wonder, are you here tonight and all you think about is your life? All you think about is what lies ahead in your life? All you think about is the plans, the dreams, and the ambitions you have for life? But I ask you the simple question, have you ever given thought to what lies beyond this life? And oh, my friend, tonight, that you would not hear simply the words that are said, but you'd understand with your heart the need that is existent within each of our lives to know what it is to have set our house in order and to have prepared to meet the one who created us. The exhortation of Scripture is simply this: seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Many live with targets and dreams. But oh, how many live this life with those targets and dreams, and yet how few prepare for death. Yearn to know what it is to truly prepare for to meet your God, if you're truly to know that's something that you can do, then it goes something like this: you must turn from. You see, there must be that moment that you realize who you are. There must be that moment that you realize what you are. And friend, tonight there is no distinction of persons between you and between me, between anyone else in this room. For we were all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. We're all sinners in the sight of God, except we have known what it is to have accepted of his love, of his offer of salvation in the gospel. Therefore, if you know what it is, to know what it is to rightly prepare to meet God, to set your own house in order, then you must know what it is to understand who you are in His sight. To realize that although your opinion may be high of yourself, although perhaps the opinion of this world may be high of you, that in the sight of God you are simply one who has been born in sin, separated from Him. An alien, an outcast. And recognizing who you are and what you are, there must be that moment whenever you turn from the sin. A sin that so is enjoyable, perhaps, to many in this world. The sin that is so enticing with all of its attractions, with all of its empty promises. But the sin that is against God in us and everything that it offers. And everything that it is. Because why? Sin is everything that breaks God's law. It's everything that is against Him and His word and His will and His way. And if you and I are to know what it is to rightly prepare to meet our God and to set our house in order, then the thing that we can do is that we can turn from it. But in turning from it, we must also turn to. For we must turn to Him. I wonder, have you ever thought? Have you ever contemplated, have you ever considered the great price that was paid for your salvation? The great price that was paid for the forgiveness of your sin. The great cost to the Father, to the Son, in order that redemption might be complete. See, there was that time in eternity whenever the darling Son of Heaven came into this world. And in coming into this world, He laid aside not His deity, just the free expression of His glory. Fully God, yet fully man at all times. He lived upon this earth. He lived a sinless life. Whenever it came to that moment, whenever the accusations were made against Him, Pilate himself said, I find no fault in Him. But then they took Him. And upon His back was laid a cross of wood from a tree that He had created. And then began that long procession up the hill of Calvary outside of the city of Jerusalem. It was agony every step of the way. A body that was so emaciated already from the whipping and from the scourging and from the scarring of the hands of the Roman soldiers, now being forced to carry a heavy wooden load. But coming to the top of that hill, the Bible tells us of how He laid down that cross and willingly laid Himself out with arms outstretched upon that cross. A hammer and nails were taken, and there they were forced through those hands. The hands that only ever had reached out with love and mercy. Hands that only ever had been used to show compassion. With every deafening blow, as the metal strikes the metal, they pierce through the layers of skin till finally those hands were fixed to that wooden cross. And there upon that cross, as He was affixed to it, they lifted it and shoved it into a hole in the ground that they had created, and they jarred every bone out of joint. There upon that cross, he willingly suffered the shame of earth, the wrath of heaven, as God poured my wrath and your wrath upon him. There in the midst of that darkness, as even the sun refused to shine upon that day, hear the cry of your Savior, hear the cry of the one who invites you at this very moment to come and to prepare for the day of your death. Hear him cry, my God, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? There's no answer. For God has turned his face away. And the final cry, it is finished. Your salvation, my salvation, the way of salvation, fully and finally paid for. And here tonight he stands and invites you. Turn from your sin. Turn to me. Not only do you have the turning from, the turning to, but you have the turning in. Will you close in with God tonight? Will you accept of the offer of salvation that is freely offered in the gospel? Will you know what it is to be in Christ? Which is far better. Simple question. As we close our meeting tonight, is simply this: are you saved? Are you ready to die? Are you ready for what awaits after you die? Oh, that tonight you would know what it is to be in time. To accept of his offer, to accept of his love, to accept of his mercy. Come. Come taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, time is short. What man is he that will ever escape death? But tonight are you one who is ready for death? May it be so. May God bless his word to your hearts tonight. 242 as we close. 242.